Good morning. It's nice to see all of you here this morning. I'm excited to be here. Like Temi said, I was away last Sunday because we were skiing in the mountains, which was really fun, by the way. So if you've never tried it, I very much recommend it. But I'm glad to be back home, home with you guys here for church this morning. So happy to see you. At the mountains, like I said, this was my first time skiing out there. I've skied at Table Mountain, which, if you know, it's not a mountain. So we were out there, and I've been hearing all these stories about what it's like to ski in the mountains. Oh, it's going to be like this, and it's going to be like this, and you're going to do this. And I was really excited for it. But what I've been reflecting on just in this past week is that you really don't know what it's going to be like until you actually get there and you experience it for yourself. And I was thinking about what I wanted to share with you guys this morning, and just thinking about how, as much as I can be here and I can tell you guys things, I can teach you things about who God is and what he's like, it's a lot different when you experience it for yourself. And so my encouragement, my challenge to you is that whatever I share today, I pray and I hope that you will be inspired to go and experience it for yourself, to know and love the God who knows you, sees you, and loves you so much more than you can imagine. It's so special and important. So I'm excited to share with you guys this morning. One thing I was thinking about also is, have you ever had somebody call you and they just start talking without introducing themselves at all? They just start talking, going right into it, and you're like, I don't even know who's on the other end of this phone, what we're talking about, what's going on. How many of you have ever had that happen before? People just launch right into it. They just assume you know exactly who's calling. Now, until you know who you're talking to on the phone, you don't know a few things. You don't know what to talk about, what content you're supposed to talk about, the tone of voice you're supposed to use, what words are appropriate to use, how to address them properly. Like, are we talking to the Pope? Or are we talking to the pizza delivery guy? Like, you gotta know who you're talking to. You have to know who you're talking to. Another fun story, my mom is a kindergarten teacher, and it's always so funny to me when we're like in a grocery store or something together as a family, and because you're a teacher, you know a lot of people. And so we'll be doing our thing, and then kids will come up, and they see her, and they get really confused because they're like, you're a teacher, but you also need groceries? And like, who's this other kid with you? Well, they're not a kid, but they're a grown-up. And then they get really confused when my mom's, you know, being friendly and says, oh yeah, this is my daughter. And I'm like a full grown-up, and the kindergarten kids are just like, they don't get it. That's my favorite thing. What you know about somebody and the context in which you know them really affects the way that you talk to them, what you think about them. And it's the same thing about our understanding of who God is. Our understanding of who God is and what God is really like shapes everything in your life, including how you pray. Nothing influences your life more than how you view God. So here's a thought. How do you view God? Think about it for a moment. When I mention the word God, what image or metaphor or picture comes into your mind? Here's a few. Some people have a mental image of God as the grumpy God, cranky, angry, upset about everything, or the crouching tiger God, ready to pounce on you every time you do something wrong. Or maybe you have an image of God that's like a flaky father, moody, changing their mind all the time. Maybe you have an image of God like a cosmic cop. They're just watching to see when you mess up, when you make a mistake. Their only purpose is to enforce the rules. Maybe you have a mental image of God like a dictator, always demanding more, always wanting you to listen. Or Santa Claus God, you know, making a list, checking it twice, want to see if you're naughty or nice. Or a Play-Doh God, making him into any form that you want for the moment. way that I have been thinking about God over the past couple years, especially as a student, is I like to think of God as a gardener. Any gardeners in the room excited for spring coming up soon? Okay, not that many of you, I guess. That's fine. A gardener. Someone who tends to my heart in different seasons, pruning, cutting out things, fertilizing, giving me everything that I need in order to grow. That's the way I like to think of God, a gardener of my heart. A.W. Tozer says, what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. And that is what we're focusing on in this next session of our 40 days of prayer. Who do you think you're talking to when you pray? What is God really like? Well, God has many characteristics. You could do a whole sermon series on these, but here's just a few. He's omniscient, which means he knows everything. He's omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful, can do anything. He's just, he's loving, he's kind, he's unchanging, faithful, holy. But today we're just going to look at God's goodness. And I'm so glad that we sang about that in some of our worship songs this morning. Psalm 100 says, "The Lord is always good. He is always loving and kind, and his faithfulness goes on and on to each succeeding generation." The reason that there is good in the world is that we have a good creator. God is the source of all the good there is in our world. And just for free, I know it's cheesy, but you can't spell good without God. Ha ha. So if God is the reason for good in the world, then what is the reason for the opposite, evil? Well, one of the reasons that I think is because God doesn't force us to do good. He gives us the opportunity to choose to do good. If we were all forced to do good and to be the same, it wouldn't be as loving. God, in his love, gives us that choice. Now, if God is not a good God, then really we have zero reason to pray. But because God is always good, we can know four things that affect the way that we talk to him and have a relationship with him. The first one, in your notes, God's plans for my life will always be good. God's plans for my life will always be good. Is there anything that God can't do? There's one thing that God can't do. He can't do evil. He cannot be anything but good. He cannot sin, cannot act out of evil, and he can't deny his character. And we know his character because he tells us who he is and what he's like. Jeremiah 29:11, this is a very well-known verse. It says, "I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. My plans will give you a hope and a good future. And when you call to me and pray to me, I will listen to you." There's so many places throughout the Bible that it says God hears us. He hears our prayers. He hears us when we speak with him. And something very interesting about this verse is it's very well known. You see it on coffee mugs and journals all over the place. But what some people don't realize is this verse, the good plans that God has for his people, he was telling them through the prophet Jeremiah at this time while the Israelites were in exile. They were suffering. They had a lot of pain. They had to leave their homes. They didn't know what the future was going to hold. And so in that dark place, God says, "I know what I have planned for you. I'm with you. They're good plans, and I will give you hope." Something that I tell our youth students all the time that I hope that they hear in their heart is that they are here for a reason. They're not an accident. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. He's made you the way that you are, with your gifts and your talents, to share with others. He's put a lot of thought into creating who you are. And the more that we pray, the more that we reflect on that, God's plans for each of us are revealed and realized through prayer. God didn't have to create a plan for your life. He could have left it all to chance, but he didn't. Why? Because he is good. Psalm 31 says, God, your goodness is so great. You have stored up great blessings for those who honor you. You do so much for those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. He stores up blessings. That picture of intentionality, storing things up. There's thoughtfulness there. Now, at this point in the message, we've been talking all about God's goodness. And you might be thinking, but Bailey, not everything in my life is good. I know that not everything in life is good. I appreciate what Darcy shared this morning as he was leading us in worship. There might be some of you here today that are experiencing great levels of pain, and I'm sorry that you are. But God does not promise us that our lives will always be good. The reality is that we live in a broken world. We make bad choices that have consequences. Other people around us make bad choices with their free will that hurt us and hurt others. And there's just the current reality that sin and death exist in our world as it is right now. But that's what makes the good news good news, is that we know the one who's defeated sin and death, and he is bigger than us. He can handle it. God is greater than our choices. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. The more that we pray and enter into relationship with God, the better that we know our purpose. And the better we know our purpose, the more God can use everything in our life for good. Even your hurts from the sins of others in your life, God can use it for good. Ben and I, we've been reading the Bible Project Plan, God's One Big Story. And I just loved reading through the story of Joseph. He went through so much in his life. His brothers betrayed him. But it's such a beautiful picture of forgiveness and redemption, how God turns plans for evil into something good and wonderful. Joseph says to his brothers, your plan was to hurt me, but God turned your evil plan into a good plan to save the lives of many people. The more that you trust and recognize or notice the goodness of God in your life, the happier you will be. It's not all about happiness, but I think the key there is that God's goodness is everywhere. We often just don't recognize it or notice it in the moment. I try to teach our youth students to look for God moments in their lives, moments where God is speaking or a coincidence happens. But we know that that coincidence is God speaking into your situation, into your life. Romans 5:3 says, we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn patient endurance. Here's one for your notes. You might want to write this in the margins. God is more interested in your character than your comfort. God is more interested in your character than your comfort. He cares about your heart and your character and the way that you are interacting with the people around you. It's not always about being happy or being comfortable. But God wants the best for us and the best for our hearts. Everything that he does in our life, it's for our good. Because God is always good. Second one. in your notes, God always gives me what I need, not what I deserve. If we all got what we deserved, none of us would be here. We're in the season of Lent right now, and it's a season to reflect on how we fail to meet the mark, how God's grace is what sustains us. It's not through anything that we do ourselves. He has not treated us as we deserve for our sins and paid us back for our wrongs. In his goodness, he has taken our sins away and removed them as far as the east is from the west. You know, there's lots of characters in the Bible who you get to see their whole story, the good moments and the bad moments. You think of David. He was called a man after God's own heart, but he committed murder, adultery. Did he deserve mercy? No, but he knew that God is good, and so he prayed in the Psalms, God, in your goodness, have mercy on me. Wash away my guilt and make me clean again. From my sin, cleanse me. God forgives you not because you're good or through anything that you've done, but because he is good. And God does more than forgive us when we sin. He actually welcomes us back. We just sang about that in What My Father's Like. God doesn't reject us. He receives us. Here's a secret. One of your greatest fears, every person's greatest fears, is the fear of rejection. I know I experienced this. We do everything possible to try and avoid feeling rejected. We try to cover up all the bad parts in our life. But because God is good, he will never reject you. So you don't have to be afraid of his rejection. You might say to me, well, there's still things that we do in our life that God's not happy about. Yeah, that's true. But he never rejects us as a person. His love is never ending, and he will never reject us. Psalm 27 says, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. My enemies are waiting for me to fall, yet I remain confident that I'll see the goodness of the Lord while I'm living here in the world. Our God is the God of second chances. And because God is good and gracious, we can be bold and confident in our prayer. Something that I've been reflecting on recently as well is the way that Jesus perfectly knows what it's like to be a human being. All the joys, all the difficulties, suffering, he knows what it's like. Hebrews 4 says, Jesus understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same temptations we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly with confidence to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive his mercy, and we will find the grace to help us when we need it. Because God is always good, in your notes, God put my good above his own good. God put my good above his own. And this is the heart of the gospel. The king sacrifices his life for his servants. It's the ultimate expression of love. The shepherd dies for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. And I will sacrifice my life for my sheep. How well do you know your shepherd? The greatest love you can have is to give your life for others. As we look towards Easter in this Lenten season, we reflect on the cross, which is the ultimate picture of God's goodness. No one else can pay that price. No one else has ever offered to pay for your sin. But what's even better news than that, that we have someone that paid that for us, is that Jesus didn't just die for you. He puts his goodness into you to shine through to others. God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins, and then in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. What a blessing that I don't have to depend on my own goodness, that I know that I can lean on God's goodness in me to make a difference in the lives of those around me. Jesus died for our sins and rose again to make us right with God, filling us with God's goodness. This is amazing good news. But what does this have to do with prayer? It has everything to do with prayer. Like we said at the beginning, the more that you know who you're talking to, the more powerful your prayer will become. If prayer is a conversation, a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, our prayer shouldn't just be a laundry list of things to give to God, like he's a vending machine. We just punch in the buttons and he gives us what we want. It's a conversation, a friendship. Romans 8:32 says, since God did not spare even his own son, but gave Christ up for us all, won't he now also give us everything else we need? We sang this morning about God being a good father, and I'm reminded of that song. It's a little older, Good, Good Father. He is the perfect parent of us, and he is so patient with us as his children. Now, this fourth truth is a really difficult one. And so I don't blame you if after today you'll have more questions than you have answers. But that's why we're here, to learn together. This fourth point is, God is always good. And because he is always good, he does not say yes to every request. He does not say yes to every request. If we're thinking of God as a parent, I'm not a parent myself, but I have lots of experience working with children and students. And as a parent or someone in charge of kids, you definitely cannot give them everything they ask for. It's like a toddler that wants to have ice cream for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. As a parent, you know that would not be a good idea. And you can maybe tell them, you know what, when you're a grown-up, as an adult, you can try it, see what happens. I'll say from experience, it did not go well. Eating only ice cream all the time. No loving parent gives a child everything they ask for because they have different information than kids do. When we come to God as a parent and request things, we often get four answers from him. Either we're asking for the wrong thing, and so the answer is no. So maybe it's the wrong timing, so he'll tell us slow. Maybe we need to do some growing up, and he'll tell us to grow. Or maybe the answer is yes, and he tells us to go. Luke 11 says, you fathers, if your children asked for a fish, to each would you give them a snake instead? Or if they asked for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The point of this is, God will never give you anything hurtful or bad for you. He is a good father. He will give you good gifts if you ask. There's this story with Jesus and his disciples, James and John. Now, James and John, their mom comes up to Jesus, and of course, she wants the best for her kids. And so she says, Jesus, can my sons sit on either side of you once we get to heaven? I want them to have the best seats available right next to you. And Jesus graciously and patiently replies, you really don't realize what you're asking for. You have limited perspective. He goes on to say, are your sons able to do what I'm about to do on the cross? They don't see the whole picture. They don't understand. How many times do we ask God something not seeing the whole picture? Because he can see the whole picture. So these four responses, sometimes God says no. When the request isn't right, as a good parent, he says, no, you don't know what you need. Sometimes the answer is slow. I want to give this to you, I intend to give it to you, but just not yet because the timing isn't right. There's a big difference between delay and denial. The next one is grow. Sometimes God says, yes, I'm going to give this to you. That's a good request, but you're not quite ready to handle this. So as I give it to you, you're going to continue to grow. And the last one is go. God says, yes, I'm going to give this request to you right now. And all of these answers are legitimate, and we know we can trust God because he is a good, good father. But like I said before, we're always going to wrestle with the reality that things in our life as they are right now aren't always good. The test of our faith in God, being a good God, it's not when everything is going well. I actually think that when everything's going well, we tend to forget that God exists and that he's the one that gave us all of those good things. The test of our faith in God being a good God is not when everything's going well. It's when things are going terribly. Do you have faith in the goodness of God when things don't look good? The test of faith is how straight you walk when you're going through the darkest days of your life. Is God a good father when someone close to you passes away? Is God a good father when someone you know, family member, becomes ill or gets cancer? Is God a good father when a relationship breaks down and divorce impacts your family? Is God a good father when you lose your job? The ultimate test of your faith is when you can say, like Job, when you've lost everything, your family, your job, your crops, your business, all your health, you've lost everything. And yet, Job still says, God, you give and take away. You give and take away. But my heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. Can we still praise our good Father when things are going crazy? God is still a good father, even when we lose everything. Because I know God is a good, good father, even when I'm in pain. Here's something you can take home and think about. Prayer is not a painkiller. Prayer is not a painkiller that removes all the pain in my life. Nowhere in the Bible has God promised a pain-free life on this side of heaven. Nowhere in the Bible has God said prayer will make every moment of your life easy. It just doesn't say that. But does that mean we should give up praying? No. My job is to keep praying and trusting. Trusting that God has the answers because he's God and I'm not. And I know that everything he does in my life is for my good. You can think about it this way. If a doctor does a surgery that saves your life and that surgery or recovery causes you pain, do you say that doctor was a bad doctor? When God doesn't immediately intervene and address our suffering, our pain, that doesn't mean that he is a bad father or a bad doctor. It means that we have the opportunity to lean in and get a greater understanding of his grace and his power, his sustaining power for us. His grace is enough for us. You know, like we said before, when things are going well in your life, those are often the times when you don't learn a lot about who God is. We don't learn much from pleasure or comfort in our life. Almost everything that we learn that's of substance and importance in our life and in my life, I've learned from pain or suffering or difficulty. And if you've never had any pain or difficulty in your life, how strong and mature would you be? It helps us to grow closer to God when we experience those things. Everything God does is for your good. Isaiah 55 says, God says, my thoughts are completely different from yours, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Do we trust him when he says that he is in control? He knows what's going on. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. The last one point I want to share with you this morning is because God is always good, he invites us to live with him forever. God wants to show his goodness to you, not just now while you're here on earth, but for all of eternity. And that's the gift that we get to look forward to. Our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, who loves us, has given us his grace, given us by his grace an everlasting encouragement and a good hope that will last forever. May this encourage your heart and give you strength for every good thing you do and say. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we know our Father and we know his goodness, our prayer will become much more powerful, impactful, and we'll be able to recognize and see God's goodness in our life every day. Until you're absolutely convinced that God is for you and he's always good to you, your prayer will be powerless, passionless, and kind of pointless. So what do you want to see God do in your life in these next 40 days? In this next season, as we're looking towards Easter, in the season of Lent, how will you look for God's goodness in your everyday life, despite your circumstances? The reality is that there's a lot of brokenness in our world. We hurt the people around us, often the people we love the most. We have an enemy who wants to break relationships, to destroy. He's not afraid of our plans, our dreams, our promises, but there is something that the enemy is afraid of, and it is our prayer. When we all commit to coming together, praying together, seeking the Lord together, good things happen. We say this at our youth rallies, where youth for the whole city all come together to worship, to learn, and to praise God together. Good things happen when we all come together in unity and seek God. And that's what we're doing together as a church over these 40 days. So my encouragement to you is to lean in. Lean in, be a part of this, and see how God will work in your life in these next 40 days. Psalm 119 says, Lord, keep me from paying attention to what is worthless. Instead, let me live by your word. I want to obey your principles. Please renew my life with your goodness. Bring us back to you. God, we're ready to come back. Please give us a fresh start. So as we head out into the rest of our week this week, my prayer for you is that you will pray with me, asking God to revive our hearts, revive our small groups, our community, our relationships around us, revive our church family, and to help us see his goodness in our everyday lives. Would you pray with me as we close. God, you are a good, good Father. There are many people here in this room and part of our church community that are in pain. But you are still a good, good Father. We've all had prayers that weren't answered the way that we want them to be answered. But you are still a good, good Father. Please help us to remember that your plan for our lives is always good. So we choose your plan, not our plan. Help us to remember that you always give us what we need, not what we deserve. Thank you for that. Thank you that you not only forgive us, but you pour your goodness into us. Thank you that you're not a God who's always mad at us, just looking for when we make a mistake. That you have grace and compassion for us, and you want the best for us. Thank you that you put our good above your own good, and you did that through the cross by dying for the sheep. You didn't spare your own son, so you certainly give us what else we need. And God, even though we don't understand it, we thank you that you don't say yes to every request that we have. We know that your goal is not to make our lives easy, but to help us grow up. We realize that your thoughts are not ours and your ways are higher than ours. And there's a lot of stuff that we don't understand. And we won't understand until we're with you in eternity. But God, I just pray that in these 40 days together, you will continue to renew my heart and all of our hearts. That you'll renew our small groups, our church community, our programs. That you will help us to find transformation through growing close to you. God, I pray this blessing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody in our church says, amen.